Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Our Islamic Beliefs Let's begin with hearing an excellence of reciting صلاة على النبي The beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said زينوا مجالسكم بالصلاة علي فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me, for indeed your recitation of salat upon me is nur for you, light for you on the Day of Judgment. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Dear viewers of Madin Channel, it's very important to know about the beliefs that must be adopted by a Muslim, as well as those things which lead to belief faith becoming nullified. Because they are two opposites. One is Iman, one is Kufr. They cannot coexist. A person cannot have some beliefs of Islam and Iman and some beliefs of Kufr and say I'm a Muslim. This is not possible. Either a person is a Muslim or he's not a Muslim. There's no middle way. So the ulama have said just as it is important to learn Aqaid, learn Islamic faith, learn about creed, learn about matters of Iman, Imaniyat. It's also important to learn about Kufriyat. What is meant by that is statements of disbelief. What things would lead a person out of the fold of Islam if he said them? Otherwise, a person could be saying something unknowingly even, and ma'azallah, he's committing kufr. So it's important, and Allama Shami rahimahullah ta'ala has said that it's necessary, wajib, to learn about statements of disbelief. How are you going to protect yourself otherwise? And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma has mentioned in Fatawa Razawiya that the ulama say that whoever does not fear losing his faith, he is very heedless in this regard, in regards to his Iman. Then there's a chance that his Iman will be removed from him at the time of death. There's a likelihood. Why? Because he has a carefree approach and carefree attitude. When we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we study the lives of the Sahaba, the lives of the Awliya, we find this recurring theme that they would cry day and night. They would be penitent. They would be remorseful, even though they were mountains of piety. This was their humility. But they feared the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we're told that whoever does not fear losing his Iman, he doesn't fear that, he doesn't even think about that, then there's a chance that his Iman will be lost. We mentioned statements of belief, but there could also be actions of disbelief, af'al of kufr. And we must have knowledge regarding this. Otherwise, how will one know he's committing it or not? So this is very, very important. And ignorance is something that leads people down very dark paths. Ma'azallah could lead one out of the fold of Islam. If you look at today's day and age, where people, they mock others quite a bit. They taunt others. They laugh. They joke. They say we're very humorous in nature. On social media or even in gatherings. Amongst friends and family. Now, if somebody is like that, where he speaks anything and everything, he jokes, just to make others happy, just to create this awareness that I'm a very humorous person, so people say about him that he's very funny. But if he's not being careful about what he actually utters, and ma'adala he jokes about Islam, and this happens today, people bring Islam into their conversations. They'll mock the religion of Islam. They'll mock aspects of the religion of Islam. Whether that's the angel of death, whether that's angels. And when they do this, when they disrespect sha'air of Islam, symbols of Islam, they lose their faith. And they're none the wiser, they don't even know. That's why it's very, very careful to never bring religion into your jokes. But on social media, ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah. People mocking Malakul Maut alayhi salam. So for example, they may say regarding a female that she's so ugly that na'udhu billah, Malakul Maut alayhi salam would come and be scared of her. Whereas we know Malakul Maut alayhi salam, when we hear about the angel of death, we become scared of ourselves. But just to create a joke, people say this regarding Malakul Maut alayhi salam. Or you'll have famous social media personalities, people who are active on there, joking about each other. And one might say to the other that you're so ugly. Na'udhu billah. That not even God, not even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can sort your face out. These are statements that are very, very dangerous for iman. And if a person is saying them, astaghfirullah, to entertain others, how wretched is such a person? How humiliated will such a person be? And that person could go living the rest of his or her life thinking they're a Muslim. Because they've uttered that kalima of kufr, they've left the fold of Islam. And we'll hear a very pertinent and relevant hadith in regards to this as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that sometimes a kalima, a statement, leaves the mouth of a person, and it's a statement that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that Allah is pleased with him, and he's not aware, yet Allah ta'ala, because of that person uttering those statements, elevates and raises the rank of that person, individual. He's not even aware. And conversely, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sometimes it may be the case that a person utters a statement which is so displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person who uttered it does not even know, he's not even aware. And because of him uttering that statement, because he's earned the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala becomes eternally displeased with that person. And he's not even aware. And in the hadith it states that because of that kalima, the person falls into the depths of hellfire. Allahu Akbar. If you ponder upon that hadith, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Someone who has a bit of fear of Allah Jalla wa'ala in his heart, he would start trembling. Have I ever said anything like that? He'll start taking account of his statements. And this should be the case of a believer. We're very careful with what we say. We think, did we ever say anything wrong? If we give our tongue a free rein, let it say what it wants, then very likely that we'll fall into wrongdoing. We'll fall into things that are detrimental for our faith as well. And this is a reality. This is something we cannot escape. We can't cover and say, well, it doesn't happen. It happens. In films, in dramas, on social media, in writing, in speech, people are uttering whatever comes to their mind. Ma'azallah, about the deen, about Jannat, about Jahannam, about the angels, about the angel of death, as I mentioned. And it's become commonplace to hear things like this. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And people don't even think twice about the consequences of what they say. That it could lead to the displeasure of Allah and hellfire. And they won't be aware of this. That's why the ulama have said, learn about kufriya kalimat. Learn about statements of disbelief. Learn what you can say, what you can't say. Learn about the boundaries that Islam has set. Otherwise, what will guide you? If you don't know about the boundaries, if you don't know about the limits, you'll cross those limits, you'll cross those boundaries, and you won't even think anything of it. And one thing which is very dangerous, and it has been identified and spotted in this day and age, is that there are some people who have become so hedonistic. What we mean by that is they are slaves of their desires. And what stops them from openly fulfilling their desires? The fact that, alhamdulillah, you have ulama and muftis of Islam who speak regularly about the harms of zina, the harms of lying, the harms of backbiting, the harms of having extramarital affairs, the harms of fraud, deception and the likes. And they can't stand the fact that the rukawat, the obstacle, the hindrance in them doing these things openly and getting a license almost free license to do these things is prevented by the ulama. Because the ulama speak out on these things, the awamun nas, they consider these things as bad, and now if somebody comes and does them openly, they'll be maligned, they'll be rebuked, they'll be criticized. So what these people do is, they don't want to offer salah, yet they know ulama speak out against those who don't offer salah. They are fasiqeen, they are open sinners, those who don't offer salah. Because remember, salah is obligated 5 times a day. Someone doesn't offer them, and someone wants to forego offering them, or wants to create this image amongst people that it's up to you whether you offer salah, and that if you don't offer it, it's fine. Allah Ta'ala is all forgiving, all merciful. What do they do in this circumstance? They know if they openly say things like this, that don't offer salah, there'll be an onslaught. People will say to them, how dare you say that? Why? Because people know Allah Ta'ala has obligated salah. Quran mentions salah, hadith mentions salah. So they won't attack Quran and hadith directly. They won't speak ill of the dhat of Allah Azza wa Jal directly, or Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What will they do? They'll say, these Maulvis, these Maulana people have made it hard. The deen is not that hard. If you don't offer salah, or if you offer it here and there, it's fine. These Maulana Hazrat, they scare you day and night unnecessarily. Astaghfirullah. They are attacking the ulama, but in reality, there are attacks upon the religion of Islam. So if somebody is in an affair, or he's fornicating, he's committing adultery, and we know that these things are bad in Islam, but he wants to give a mindset to the people that it's fine, just like other faiths, just like non-Muslims commit zina day and night, and they don't think anything of it. We should think like that as well, that two people have come together and they've consensually, you know, done the deed. They try to promote this, but they know that if they directly say the Quran is wrong for forbidding it, don't go close to zina, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ahadith in this regard, that a believer is not a kamil believer when he's committing this sin. And there's various interpretations. Some say that the iman leaves his body at the time of that act, some of the scholars say. Now, he can't attack Quran and hadith directly. What will he say then? He will say, these Maulvi people, they go on about, you know, having extramarital relationships, and they go on about the prohibition of having girlfriends and boyfriends. They just made the deen hard. Two people love each other, two people want to be with each other, they're happy to be with each other. What's the problem of the Maulana? Why does the Maulvi have the problem? But little do the Awam know that he's trying to put a wool over their eyes. He's actually attacking Quran and Hadith, but he's using the name of the Mawlana, creating nafrat, hatred towards the Mawlana. And this is happening. People are becoming distant from the ulama, from the Muftiyani Kiram. Why? Because they've heard so much negative things about ulama. And all we need to know is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the ulama are the inheritors of the Prophets alayhi wasallam. That's sufficient for us. So we must always cling to the ulama. We must always accompany the ulama. We must always have a strong and firm relationship with the ulama. But what's happening? This is happening today. The ulama are being targeted. The ulama are being criticized. When in reality, it's not the ulama who are being criticized, it's the deen of Islam. The ahkamat of the deen of Islam. People don't want to offer namaz. People don't want to perform hajj. People don't want to give zakat. And these kinds of people who are slaves to their desires, they will try and achieve their goal of making other people follow them in this regard by attacking the ulama. And say, they've made the deen hard for us. It's not that hard. But when in reality, the Quran mentions all of these things. The hadith mentions the obligations, the ahkamat of Islam. So this is something that we must be aware of. We must be privy to. Otherwise, we won't even know what's happening. Ma'adallah, we're not angels, or we're not prophets where we cannot commit sin. We might even fall prey to some of these messages that are targeting the innocent members of the public, innocent Muslims. So going back to it, kufr is something that we need to save ourselves from at all times. People who criticize the deen in any way, even in the guise of attacking scholars, they're committing wrong. And it's a very strong likelihood they could lose their iman because of their hatred for Islam. Allah Ta'ala talks about those who renounce their faith, those who renegade. Allah Ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The one amongst you who apostated from his deen, فَيَمُتْ, and then he died whilst he was a kafir, وَهُوَ كَافِر, فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. These are the very people whose a'mal have been destroyed in the dunya and in the akhirah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And these people are the inhabitants of hellfire, and they will abide therein forever. Allah Ta'ala is saying this in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And there are other verses of the Quran which tell us to remain firm on Islam. Allah Ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O believers, fear Allah the way He ought to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. Only die in a state that you are Muslims. In another verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O believers, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Why is there repetition? O believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The ulama explain, they say the second time Allah mentions it for emphasis. Meaning, O believers, stay firm upon the deen. Believing Allah and His Messenger. Be firm and steadfast in this regard. What did the Prophet ﷺ pray in this regard? He would make a beautiful dua. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. The O turner of the hearts, make my heart steadfast upon your deen. This is a dua which we should read all the time. For the tahaffuz, for the protection and safeguarding of our faith. After namaz, or generally we should read it as well. Whenever we do dua, we should make this dua inshallah. So speech plays a profound effect, a profound part in a person's believing and disbelieving. This very tongue, you utter a few words, you become a Muslim. All your sins are forgiven. This very tongue, if you utter a few other words, you leave the fold of Islam. All your a'mal are destroyed. Look at the power of the speech. Look at the power of the tongue. So do we not have to learn how to use this tongue, utilize it properly? Of course we do. This very tongue can make you a beloved of Allah. And this very tongue can make you someone displeasing to Allah. So we have to think about these things. We have to understand the severity and the sensitivity of the situation. Because remember, when you live your life, as a Muslim, you want to die as a Muslim. What does the hadith state? That there are four types of people. The one who was a born Muslim, he was born a Muslim and died as a Muslim. The second type, who was born a disbeliever, died as a disbeliever. The third type, born a Muslim, died a disbeliever. And the fourth, the one who was born a disbeliever but died as a Muslim. What do we learn from these categories? We learn that actions are dependent upon endings. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Your actions are determined by your ending. Someone could have done good all his life, but if he lost his faith at the time of death, all of that has gone to waste. Alternatively, someone could have done wrong all his life. Allah gave him tawfiq to repent and recite kalima shahada at the time of death. All of that is forgiven and this person is a jannati. So we should always beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a positive end. An end upon faith, because that is the true success. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Al-Quran Al-Kareem? That فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. The one who was saved from the fire of hell and he was entered into paradise, that person is successful. So being saved from fire of hell, being entered, admitted into paradise, this is the goal, and this is the success, the true success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. Alhamdulillah, in this day and age, the founder of Dawud Islami, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Qattar Qadini, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, is a blessed individual who is highlighting these things. He's creating this awareness amongst Awam. He has written books which contain ash'ar, couplets from songs, famous songs that people sing day and night, they repeat day and night, but they're kufriya. He has booklets written on this topic, that this particular couplet that people are reciting and it's from the latest movie or this movie or that movie, what's the haqiqah? Are you allowed to even repeat that couplet of the song? So these are very dangerous times we're living in. Amir al-Sunnah wrote an entire book, Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab. Subhanallah, a comprehensive book about questions related to kufr, kufriya statements rather, statements of disbelief, whether that's in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Al-Quran al-Kareem, or the angels, destiny, sadat kiram, much, much more. Everyone should read this book. It's necessary to read about statements of disbelief so you can save yourself. Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhu al-Ali is doing his bit. And we should also try and convey this to others as well, that remember, just as learning about Allah, His Zat, His Sifat, His Af'al, His Ahkam, learning about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nubuwa, learning about Aqaid related to the Anbiya alayhi salam, Awliya kiram, Aqidah regarding destiny, angels, Jannat, Jahannam, we have to learn about Kufriya Kalimat as well. What can't be said regarding Allah, what can't be said regarding the Prophets, what can't be said regarding Jannat, Jahannam, angels, death, the hereafter. People say so many things, or we'll see what happens in the hereafter. They say it lightly, na'udzubillah. And remember one thing, although we have been touching upon a very sensitive topic of Kufriya Kalimat, the awam are not to judge when someone has committed kufr or not. If they're doubtful regarding a statement, who do they refer to? The ulama, Darul Ifta, Muftiyani Kiram. And they ask, Huzur, I heard this statement. What's the hukum on the statement? The ulama to judge. And if we begin to say, oh, this is kufr and that's kufr and so-and-so is not a Muslim, we have to be very careful. What if there's a sahih ta'wil, a correct interpretation that saves that person from kufr, and the ulama can say, you must do tawbah, but your iman is not affected, avoid this jumla in future. What if we were to call that person a disbeliever? We continue saying that. If you call someone a disbeliever and he's not a disbeliever, the fatwa reverts back. The fatwa returns to you. So we have to be very, very careful in this regard. We have to be muhtat. We have to consult the ulama. Yes, it's a good thing being very cautious when hearing about something and having that skill of knowing that such a statement doesn't sit right. And that comes with knowledge. The more knowledge of Islam you have, you'll realize whether a statement can be said or not. But the actual hukum, the final hukum, we leave that job to the ulama-e kiram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strong iman, strength in faith, and save us from kufr. May we remain Muslims all our lives, and may we die upon iman and Islam as well. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and